Florida to the Tampa to attend someone's wedding. We were here and I was like, I think there is somewhere in Sarasota, not so far. So I called her. You know, so I called her. I said, I'm in town, I want to come by and stuff like that. She said, no problem. So we went over there, and when we got here, it was this spread. It was a spread, and I was like, I think we need to do all this. You said, don't worry about it. So, you know, I and my wife fell in love with Andre. You know, so this is a nice person. And my wife went to garden too, so they connect and, you know, the whole garden and stuff, and we're all around the place looking at roses, and they know all the names and stuff like that. So to me, it's just love. You know? At home, we all plant trees, right? But I don't really use to plant anything that is on people. That's me. You know what I mean? My wife likes to plant roses and she just likes to sit and watch them, and she got a connection with Andre because they both love plants and roses and stuff like that. And I always admire, you know, Andre, because she always takes care of her God. She's always out there doing something, you know what I mean? And when I came to visit her, she had a packet tree, peer tree, sugar cane, and I was like, I'm very good. Where do you find time to do this? She was like, I'm tired. This keeps me alive, you know? But not everybody is one of those special people that, you know, when God made her, she just drove in with it. There's not, nobody else like her. She's a special person. I love her.
You are.
Anybody else?
Hello everyone, my name is Jason B. My mother is the one who person to read. Ms. Erica came into my family's life with my own grandmother, my mother's mother, you know, left here some years ago, but you know, they were neighbors first and church friends and all these other things. So as you can imagine, growing up here in South Florida, Nicaragua primarily, you would come and visit my grandmother. And so I had the fortune to basically live with Erica and spend most of my staying time. So I don't know if they adopted us or we adopted them as a family, but it just felt like family that they just visited grandma every single time. And so, you know, one of the things that I cherish the most about her is, again, you mentioned the cooking and the baking. And my wife and I have been married for almost 16 years now, and we're fortunate enough to ask her to make one of our infamous Christmas cakes as, you know, as one of our wedding cakes. So, you know, yeah, the main bridal cake. For me, I said, well, my groom's cake, you know, a Miss Erica cake. And what was so funny about that night was that, because everybody knows how baking is, top notch. And at the end of the night, the main cake that was spending big money on it, that still remained. The real cake was going to keep the dollar. I know we're busy through the night, but we heard rumors that people were literally like, because we didn't plan for people to be, you know, taking cake home and those kinds of things. People were literally stuffing cake into their pockets and into their purses. So, you know, I just associated her with so much. The good cooking, just being a part of her, being in her kitchen, and the aromas and the love and kind of stories that kind of came along with that. So very, very grateful for her in my own family's life, and just, you know that she's going on to just be in glory, and she's in a wonderful place. So thank you for that.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
My name is Lydia. I have always forgotten her name because I named her Miss Jamaica. Before I met her, Myrna invited me to to a stick which they were having for the Jamaica independence. So everybody has to dress like whatever for Jamaica. Then came Miss Jamaica, with everything for Jamaica, while she was thinking it, this is Miss Jamaica.
Another. We have about six minutes if somebody wants to take them, or I will definitely take them because I can say a lot about Erica too. So.
But preachy person. She lived for me.
Yes.
That's what brings us here. That's what makes us miss her so much. That's the example that we're talking about, that we need to internalize and to follow. So that when we all get to heaven, they'll be judging you. The day she died, and I was getting all that. She up there with my mom and with Peter, and they're up there having a big ha-ha. Then he can stop being sad. Because when we all get to heaven,
amen. Three minutes or I will start. Okay. I guess I'll start. It looks like people are ready. I'm going to read from Ecclesiastes 7, 1 through 4 first, and then say some things and read some more scripture after. Ecclesiastes 7, verses 1 through 4, a good name is better than precious ointment, than the day of death, than the day of one's birth. Better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. I've been given a great honor today. A preacher at a funeral typically does the devotion, and sometimes the preacher does the eulogy and the devotion because the family doesn't have a lot to say. But today I know the family did have a lot to say, and yet they still gave me the eulogy. And that was because Erica, I'd say in some ways she was my best friend. And it wasn't immediately. I came here as a young man who wasn't the pastor when I first came here. And I did, in those first 5 or 6 years, I enjoyed some of what you've told, Erica's cakes and things like that. That's not how I got back, because I wasn't fat at that point. But, and I enjoyed her roses because I saw them here on the pulpit. But I really got to know her after I became pastor here. In 2004. And in 2004, there was also a hurricane. And because of that hurricane, I ended up in John's Pete's house, which is right near Erica's house. And eventually I moved to another house that was also near Erica's house. And so we were not only in the same church, but we were neighbors. So I got to know Erica extremely well. And this passage is actually a passage I use for many funerals because it's appropriate for a lot of people. And it starts here with a good name is better than precious ointment. And as that applies to a lot of people, especially I've been blessed to know, it definitely applied to Erica. She had a good name. Everybody who knew her, as somebody who has just said, were touched by her. They were marked by her. Her example is an example that we can all follow as Christians and as people. It also says in that first birth verse, and the day of death, then the day of one's birth. And for Erica, this is true, because I know she is in heaven with the Lord. The end of this song that she picked, that we just sang, 648, the last verse, it says, in mansions of glory, in endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. And that's what Erica is doing right now. She's adoring the Lord. She's in her mansion of glory. Jesus said, right before he died, in my Father's house there are many mansions. And I believe Erica lives in one of those. Her house was nice enough here, had flowers all around it. But I imagine her house there is beyond belief. Secondly, this second part of this passage, verses 2 through 4, applies to all of us who are left behind. It says, better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, then the living take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. And this is not a sad occasion because of Erica, because we know she's in heaven, but it's sad for us because we've been left behind and we're missing somebody who is dear to us. And this passage tells us how to handle that kind of thing, because it says it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. And some of us have feasted with Erica. There's nothing wrong with that. But the house of mourning, what's the difference? Why is one better than the other? Well, the person who wrote this passage was King Solomon, who was one of the wisest men who ever lived. And the reason that the funeral is, and it says the house of mourning, that's a funeral home or a church where this funeral is. Why it's better is because it says the living take it to heart. When we go to a party, we have fun. It doesn't change our lives. But a funeral has the power to change our lives, because it brings us to our knees. When we lose somebody dear, there's no way to replace an Erica in our lives. The only way we can do it is, Jesus says this, at the time he was telling his apostles, his disciples, that he was going to die, they were all crying. It was going to be a horrible death. And he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He wasn't saying they were wrong to be crying. He wasn't saying that at all. But he was saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. Express it in this way instead. And some of you have already done that with Erica. She either told you something, and I think that some of us, she told me something. One of her commands to me, I don't know how I can keep it, because she would command me one thing, and my own dear mother, who was also a beautiful lady, would command me the other. Every time my hair would get long, Erica would say, cut your hair! And every time I cut my hair, my mom would say, why did you cut your hair? And I was stuck between these two commandments, and I think I'll forever be in that state of, well, should I cut it or not cut it? How long should it get? And even yesterday, because Erica's funeral, I cut my own hair a little bit, just for Erica. And I didn't have time to go to a place, but I'd have time to do this, and trimmed it up a little. And that was one of her commands to me. Another command that I know, I don't know how she expressed it to all of you, because it was a command that she and I had in common. Erica was always early everywhere she went. And Erica rode with me a lot of different places. Even before, you know, she stopped driving, we went to weddings together, funerals. She was with me all the time, and we were always on time. That's why she was with me, because she knew I was one of these people. And I think part when Myrna's talked here, I've noticed Myrna is earlier than she used to be. She used to be the last person at every service. And even this week, Wednesday prayer, Myrna was the first one there after me. The rest of them were late, so they still need to take this to heart. But Erica, she would get mad at you when you were late. She would tell me, I don't know how often she'd tell you, but she was furious. You guys are late. One of the commands she gave me, and some of these commands are not so much spoken, but they're by her example. Because that's usually how she commanded us. And I do remember what Myrna mentioned, her walking, because I walked with her when I was younger and fitter. And I was in great shape. But she didn't walk like this. She walked really, really fast. It could tire out somebody real easily. She was like that, and she was always fit. which is what I have to take. It's one of the things I want to take to heart from Erica. If you see me starting to get thin again, it's to her credit. Or at least partly to her credit. If I don't, then it's not her fault. She did tell me, you know, I can't remember her words, but she told me very gently that I needed to lose weight. She wasn't harsh with me like she would have been if you were late for something. But one of the other commandments that Erica had that was more example, I actually never heard her speak this, was Erica was a woman of God. She came to church like some others. Very few are like this anymore. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday prayer, the ladies' Bible study. When the ladies' Bible study included men, it was still that Erica was there. I know she was president of the WIC group, which changed to Women's Ministry. And even after she retired from that ministry, the women would still call her for help. As Myrna said, Erica was the one who taught her to put the Lord's Supper together. She did the same with me, taught me how to do that. And she needed replacement, not just one replacement. And that was the kind of lady she was at. I remember in my first church, I had two ladies like this that were always early to church, and they were always at every service. And I remember seeing a cartoon, which can't apply to Erica because it involves snow. But there was this church, and the steeple was tall, and there was a bell in the steeple, and on top of the steeple was a cross. And the snow had got all the way up to halfway covering the bell. And the two ladies are walking up to the bell, which is obviously on the roof of the church, on the steeple. And one of them says to the other, "Looks like no church today, Mabel." And that would have been Erica. She always was at church for every service, and she was always early. One time she told me, "Pastor, if I'm late, I will not be at church." I don't remember experiencing that. She was always early, because she was always at church. She was faithful. One of the reasons that I was privileged to be Erica's friend was because Erica was a friend of God. That's what we had in common. We were two people that in some way were alike, because we're both, I'm not an outgoing person. I've got more so because I have to be as a pastor, but I'm not an outgoing person, and Erica wasn't either. But we got to know each other because God brought us together. And God made us together in that sense. And this leads me to the second passage that I have as part of this message. John 12:24. "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." Now the person who said that was our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a sense that that verse only applies to Jesus, because when he says that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it abides alone, he's talking about his own self. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead. And he like a seed, had to be buried to bring forth the fruit. And Erica would have known this because she knew a lot more about seeds than I do, planting different things. She was a producer of fruit in that sense. And here, again, this song that she had us sing, "My Jesus, I Love Thee." It starts with, "My Jesus, I Love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus is now. I love thee because thou first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. And I know from my talks with Erica, as perfect as she seemed, we are all sinners and we've all fallen short. And she was a sinner too. And she knew that, and she trusted in Christ for her salvation. And God gave her that salvation in a wonderful way. And that's the one part here of this verse that's important to know. We all get to heaven by the grace of Christ. And yet there's another thing here that I think applies not just to Jesus, but to many believers, especially somebody like Erica. One of the things that I'll remember most about Erica was the way that she prayed. We had the prayer time on Wednesday evenings, and if you heard Erica pray, she was always fervent in prayer, and she always remembered every person to pray for, and would pray with this great fervent prayer. And as she got older, she started to forget somebody's name here or there or that. Now, I only know this because she told me this. I still heard her. Her prayers were still fervent and powerful. And I said, Erica, you got to keep praying. Keep coming. Because your prayers are still powerful. We don't notice where you're saying you're forgetting. And it's funny because she would still call me and remind me of things when she was forgetful. And yet her prayer was powerful. And there was a man that lived in the last century named George Mueller. And he was known for answered prayer. And he started an orphanage. And he had lots of children in this orphanage. As many as he could hold. They say there were 10,000 children in this orphanage during his time over it. And he never asked any human being for money. He only prayed to God. And one time he was praying and thanking God for food when there was no food for the orphans. And they're all sitting at the table and he's praying. And a bread truck crashed in front of the orphanage. And the man from the bread truck said, hey, I can't use this. Can you use this? Right as he was finishing his prayer. And that's the power in prayer that people have when they really believe. And I believe Erica had that power. And yet at the end of George Mueller's life, he had a prayer list. And I don't even know if Erica had a prayer list, an actual list of prayers, because her memory was so good. She probably remembered everybody she was praying for. But he had a prayer list, and there were 8 people on that prayer list. That on the list, he had the prayer, and then the answer, and the prayer, and the answer, and the prayer. And it was a long, long list. But 8 people on that list, there was no answer for their prayers. And I know Erica prayed for our church to be big, full of people, and I know she prayed for lots of you, and some of you maybe more than others. And at the end of George Mueller's life, at his funeral or just shortly after, every one of those prayers were answered in the way they were prayed. And I pray that would be the same with Erica. When she asked for this wonderful passage to be read, that her daughter read, Lorraine Blossom. It's about heaven. And it's about where there's no more crying, no more tears, no more death. It's that place that is in the song that we just sang, that with mansions of glory. And it's a very real place. And I know Erica is in this place now with Jesus, and it's just going to get better and better. And she wants every one of you there with her. That would be, I know that if I didn't say this, if she had any way from heaven to get me, she would. She wants you there with her, in heaven with her. And so the only way you can be sure of that is to be like Erica, one who loved God, one who was wholehearted for God. One who not just came to church once in a while either, but Sunday morning, evening, Wednesday evening, even till the end of her life, as much as she could. You know, it's again in this song, it says, And I didn't, this song I didn't plan on having in my message, but it just seems so powerful. It says, I love thee in life, I love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. And she did that. She was faithful. You know, some as young, they start, they're all excited about church, and then as they get older, it wears off. Or it becomes too difficult for them. And sometimes it's just impossible for people. But she was faithful to the very end. To almost the last days of her life. To coming to church, to serving God. And I know even when she could not come, I'm sure she was still praying. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for Erica. We thank you for her life and her example. And the beautiful lady that she was and still is now with you in heaven. I know as we go to this last song that she picked, she says, it is well with my soul. And we know that it's well with Erica's soul. And Father, we pray that it be well with all of our souls. That would be Erica's desire. And Father, we pray that that we might all honor Erica today as we already have, and with our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 691, we'll stand and sing, It Is Well With My Soul.